Library of Adventure, featuring the great adventures of yesterday, dramatized for the boys and girls of today. Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar. Chapter 21 of the story adapted from the novel by Jules Verne. After a long and arduous journey across the Siberian steppes, Michael and Nadia had at last reached the southwest corner of Lake Baikal. Only 100 miles separated them from Irkutsk, and Michael considered it fortunate that they'd fallen in with a band of fugitive Russians who were being taken by raft to the city. Within a few hours, the two travelers had been fed and rested. And now, as the long night drew on and the temperature fell toward zero, the boatman and his helpers pushed the raft away from the shore, and gently the current carried them towards the mouth of the Angara, the river on whose banks lay the city. In a stupor of exhaustion, Nadia lay silent on the floor of the raft. Michael slept little, for within him burned an unquenchable determination to fulfill his mission. So passed the night, until the gray dawn broke on the summits of the Altai.
Dawn, brother.
I felt the light against my eyelids. Are we far from the mouth of the Angara?
25 miles. The wind has been against us, and the current is sluggish at the best of times.
Is ice forming?
There are signs of it.
Will that prevent our passage of the river?
It might.
When do you expect to reach the Angara?
If the present conditions hold, about 4 p.m.
So much the better. That'll enable us to sail down to Irkutsk in darkness. If the Tatars are on the banks...
Yes, darkness will help. Those barbarians seldom move at night.
It will be dangerous. And we have women and children aboard, my sister told me.
We must put our faith in divine providence, brother. We can do no more.
Large pieces?
As big as your fist.
Not serious yet.
Michael, we're almost there, I think. I can see the village the boatman told us about. Ivanichnia. But it is quite deserted. Must have been pretty when people lived there. A tiny church. A few small houses perched on the banks above.
It was a favorite stopping place for steamers and fishing boats, Nadia. But all that is finished while Tatars overrun the country. The villagers will have left. And I hope taken everything with them.
The quay is quite deserted. Are we going to stop there?
Until darkness falls, it'll be safer. And besides, there are a few small repairs to be made.
It'll be a chance to stretch our legs. It was a funny thing to say when I think of all those dreadful miles.
Nadia, forget them. What is it?
Wait, why? We're going to take on more fugitives at the village. 2 men are running down to the quay. They must have been hiding in one of the houses. Oh, Michael. It's the Englishman and the Frenchman. How did they get here?
Blunt and Jolivet?
Yes.
Nadia, this could be serious. They know me now as Michael Strogoff, and my purpose in coming to Irkutsk. I must keep my identity hidden from these others.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Yes, I must take the chance. They are men of honor. Nadia, as soon as they are aboard, ask them to come to me. Tell them it's important.
I will. Ah, we're against the quay. Jolivet is approaching the old boatman.
Oh, sir, can you help us? My friend and I seek passage to Irkutsk. If you will take us, we have money to pay you.
No one pays here, friend. We risk our lives equally.
Will you take us?
Come aboard. There is plenty of room in the stern of the raft.
Jolivet, what is it, Mr. Blunt? Look there, coming towards us. Nicholas Korpanoff's sister. Michael Strogoff's.
Please, gentlemen, do not speak that name. I'm returning to my place in the stern of the raft. When I take out my handkerchief, join me. Do not attract attention to yourselves.
We understand. When you signal, we will come.
Thank you.
Well, what do you make of that, Mr. Blunt? I cannot imagine. How did she come to be here? Alone?
But is she alone?
You mean? Oh, impossible, Monsieur Jolivet. We saw him before the executioner at Tomps. He couldn't have escaped.
No,
I expect you're right. Let us sit down, Mr. Blunt, and watch the young lady for a signal to approach.
They will come when I take out my handkerchief, Michael. I have warned them to say nothing. They understand.
Did you tell them that I was here?
No.
How is the light?
Fading.
Give them the signal.
Yes. There. I have given it.
Are they coming?
Yes.
My dear young lady. Great heaven. Is it? Are you?
He does not see you, gentlemen. The Tartars.
Yes, we understand. Mr. Blunt, sit down. I will sit here. Oh, forgive my rudeness. My dear fellow, this is amazing. How glad we are to see you.
Gentlemen, you ought not to know who I am or why I am come to Siberia. I ask you to keep my secret. Will you promise?
On my honor. On my word as a gentleman.
Thank you.
Can we help you in any way? Is there anything we can do to help you accomplish your mission?
I must act alone, gentlemen. It's better that way.
But without your sight.
I have Nadia, and her eyes are enough for me.
I can well believe it, since you have traveled thus far. Ah, now we're putting off from the quay, I think. Do you wish us to return to our part of the raft, Mr. Korpanoff?
No. If you'd like to keep us company until darkness falls, then perhaps we might talk. I would like to hear the story of your own travels.
Very well. We will stay. Dark now, Mr. Korpanoff, and your sister is asleep.
Then we can talk. Of course, Nadia is not my sister.
We have realized that, of course.
Nadia Fedor, if you need a story to tell your people, you will find an epic in Nadia Fedor's story, gentlemen. To some is given strength of body, to others strength of intellect, of will. In Nadia Fedor, they are combined. To suffer as she has suffered and to struggle on, asking nothing, giving all. That is courage, gentlemen. I will say no more. But I would willingly give my life to fulfill her purpose.
Perhaps her story will be told when the time is opportune. But that is not yet. How did you manage to reach Lake Baikal, Mr. Korpanoff?
I shall never cease to wonder. Somehow, across the steppes from Tomsk to the lake, we found a friend, food, water, a place to shelter. Our steps were guided. Nothing can stop me reaching Irkutsk now. Nothing.
But the letter. You haven't the letter.
We saw it taken from you.
It does not affect my mission.
Mr. Korpanoff, There is a time to speak one's mind, and a time to keep one's own counsel. But there is something I must say, and I know that I speak also for Mr. Blunt.
Yes.
At Ishim, you remember the posting house where the man we now know as the traitor Ogareff struck you with his whip?
I have not forgotten.
At Ishim, Mr. Korbunov, we allowed you to go without seeking you out.
Why should you have done so?
To shake you by the hand. Let me put my hand in yours. There. I have remedied a grievous error of judgment.
And I.
It is most generous of you both. I know that I will have friends in Irkutsk.
At your service, Mr. Korbunov.
Tell me, if you were at Tomsk, how did you manage to outride the Tatars?
We were able to obtain horses in Tomsk, fast horses. And for a time, it seemed that we would easily outdistance them. But the third column, of which we had no knowledge, caught us in the valley of the Yenisei. We were forced to move southward, and so to the village at the mouth of the Angara.
You were fortunate. Then you think that the Emir and Ogareff have invested Irkutsk?
Nothing is more certain. The three columns will have joined before the city. Our only hope of entering is by this raft, under cover of darkness. You are aware of the very great risk we are running?
I am.
Oh, it is cold. And there is more ice in the water.
How bad is it?
The old boatman has been steering his way through it for some time. It is not yet sufficient to hamper our progress.
Mr. Blunt!
What is it, Monsieur Jolivet?
Put your hand in the water.
Certainly, but I cannot see. Good heavens! The surface of the water seems slimy, oily.
Smell it.
Naphtha.
Did you say naphtha?
I did. The surface of the river is afloat with naphtha.
The Tartars!
Gentlemen, if a single spark should fall upon the river, we and the city of Irkutsk will be swept by a living wall of flame. We are in great danger.
Is this merely an exhibition of natural phenomena, since Lake Baikal is in the center of rich oil-bearing country? Or is it a malevolent and terrible engine of destruction prepared by the Tatars for the last attack on the city of Irkutsk? What if the river is set afire while the helpless raft drifts on its way? Can Michael reach the city in time to warn the Grand Duke? Listen again when next we present Michael Strogoff, Courier of the Tsar.